Thanks for tuning in to Americana Music Profiles. It's Season 3, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine in print and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com online. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's join in on another great conversation with one of the Americana music industry's super talented artists. Chris Jones is my guest today on Americana Music Profiles. You may know him as one of the guest hosts on Sirius XM's Bluegrass Junction. He is a singer, songwriter, and leader of Chris Jones and the Night Drivers. Well, hi, Chris. Welcome to the podcast this afternoon.
Thanks, Greg. Great to be here.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to talk with you. So you guys have a new CD coming out called Made to Move, which is the latest installment for what's been a fairly long career for you in bluegrass music. Give me a little bit of the background, how all of this started for you.
Well, I started playing bluegrass music professionally when I was in my teens still.
Okay.
And I'm originally from the New York area, which is not a hotbed of bluegrass.
Right.
Spent some grown-up time in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and it was actually there that I really started listening to bluegrass and country music.
Okay.
And started playing with other people. I got to know a little community of pickers there in Albuquerque, but
yeah.
Then took that back home. I was really fired up about age, 14, 15, and took that back east, and some of the first band I was in. I recently went back to the theater where I played the first band,
cool.
The Hamlin Theater in Mamaroneck, New York. The first band I was in was called Horse Country, and so I was there. The guitar player was my first time singing lead on stage. I'd been sort of a closet lead singer, but so I've been at it ever since. As a sideman in various bands, but usually as the guitar player, lead singer.
Yeah,
including the Lynn Morris Band, Dave Edmonds, and Special Consensus. And then in the mid-90s, I decided to form my own band, and so that's always a big commitment. But
sure.
And it's difficult but rewarding, and I've been very fortunate to get to do it this long.
How long has broadcasting been a for the folks that don't know, you are a big part of Sirius XM Bluegrass Junction, and how long is that your first entry into broadcasting, or were there other things leading up to that?
No, I have actually done it off and on for a number of years. In fact, I started that also in my teens. University of Vermont, I had a radio show at their college station, and then worked in a little bit of commercial country. So I got my feet wet with that in Pennsylvania. I was playing with the band with the Lynn Morris called the Whetstone Run, and started doing some work at the radio station there, and then did a little in the Nashville area,
okay.
Where I lived for over 20 years. But of course, it's very difficult to do radio in any kind of full-time way and tour.
Right.
So it's been, here and there with generally doing it part-time, but the Sirius XM opportunity came up, and I did luck into it, really. A friend of mine named Terry Hurd, who was a bluegrass radio syndicator, was somebody I had done some fill-in work for, so he knew I had that background, and he ended up being in charge of this new bluegrass channel and was in charge of hiring people for that. So I put his staff together, and I said, yes, I'd love to do it.
Yeah.
And because it was set up in a way that I could do my shows from the road if necessary, it made it possible to tour.
Yeah.
And do the radio at the same time. So there have been times when it's been a little too much. At one time I was on 7 days a week, and that was just really a strain, especially in the busy summer months.
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah.
Now it's a good balance. I'm on 3 days a week, but I fill in other times.
Okay.
So it's just about right.
And I don't know. Obviously, we're not letting anything out of the bag. I don't know how many people actually know that Sirius doesn't necessarily. You don't have a studio where you go in and sit down and do your thing and then go home. You, like you said, you get to do that out on the road. I'm assuming that's from a laptop, right? You get to plug into the system and.
Yeah, it's done both ways, and I've done a lot of work out of the Nashville studios that they have when I'm there, and then also done some work out of their New York studios, which are cool. But I Yes, it's done with a laptop, and nowadays communication being what it is, yeah, I sort of plug right into their systems if I'm in one of their studios, just using a microphone, I'm thankful for the technology that makes it possible.
Yeah. Well, I've actually heard you broadcasting occasionally from various different festivals that you attend, and I'm sure that gives you a really unique perspective to be setting wherever you are and knowing that there's this really cool music festival going on, and you're kind of in the middle of it talking to the world in the midst of all of that.
It's kind of fun, and of course I get to interview friends of mine backstage, and so I'll be able to give some of the musician perspective a little bit when talking, and it's just nice to backstage and chat with people I know, just like a friendly conversation.
Sure,
I hope it gives people that are listening a feel for being there.
What kind of impact do you think that format, Sirius XM, has given, with the Bluegrass Junction, has given to bluegrass music?
I think it's been pretty big, because I think there are so many areas of the U.S. and Canada that were poorly served with this kind of music and radio.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no replacing local radio. That's so important and always has been. But there are a lot of areas where that's just shows are few and far between.
Right.
A lot of stations will give a disc jockey that's doing a bluegrass show, the least good time slot.
Yeah.
where they have nothing else to go.
2 o'clock in the morning.
We'll stick you there. And of course, people, the faithful will listen anyway, but I think having it available anywhere in the continent of North America any time of day has been huge. And I've noticed, just from comments I get, listeners and things, that there are people that are introduced to the music that way, because they just stumble
onto
it. I would
imagine, yeah.
While they're kind of scanning through their music channels. So, yeah, it's been, and I think even Sirius XM has not necessarily understood the amount of loyalty that's built up.
Yeah, I've thought that too sometimes.
Because other kinds of music are more available in other kinds of radio.
Sure.
And bluegrass music, not so much. So there are people that's all they listen to, and they listen to it 12 hours a day.
It's
a little different.
And subscribe to it almost exclusively for the bluegrass, not any of the other offerings that are there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, we had, there was a controversy, I guess it was last year, where we got temporarily preempted.
I remember that.
By the Hanukkah channel, which, and there was just somewhat of an overreaction, because some people misunderstood, and some people thought it was off the air forever.
Oh, okay.
And it's hard to explain those things. What happened was that Sirius XM puts that temporary channel during the day's Hanukkah on different channels. They don't have a place for it to go on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody sort of takes their turn.
Oh, okay.
What happened was, people found out exactly how loyal and how passionate those listeners are. They did not want that removed for 10 days, so or eight days, really. So,
yeah.
I was kind of glad to see that loyalty. At the same time, I was also trying to calm people down. It's not just temporary and only for this year.
Well, it's certainly a... it makes you feel good when you're a part of that industry and you realize that when somebody's... avenue to that is potentially jeopardized, you rise up behind a cause, and I remember hearing about that and seeing about it, of course, on news feeds and Facebook and all those kinds of things, and it was nice to see people react, and certainly not negatively, but react, and like, please don't take this away from us, you don't know how much this means.
And I'm sure there are other kinds of music that way, that people just don't have another way to hear them. But bluegrass music, I think, is prime among their different music channels for that reason.
Sure,
no duplication with other channels.
Yeah.
The songs are only heard there.
Yeah. So obviously, songwriting has been a big part of your journey. I'm sure it must be gratifying to not only be able to perform your own material, but I also understand that other artists have actually been able to be successful with the songs that you've written as well.
Yeah, songwriting came gradually to me. I was playing the music first, and then began to experiment with it when I was in my early 20s,
mm-hmm.
and started writing some songs and started doing it more and more, and it became a much more important part of what I was doing. I'd always had this interest in arranging songs for progress music, and like dig up a lot of old songs from different genres, especially kind of classic country stuff, and do bluegrass, and even do some obscure bluegrass things and rearrange them. But it was even more gratifying to simply write your own song and create it from nothing. And so it's been very gratifying to do it myself, and when other artists do it. And I've never been really much for pitching songs to other artists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that prolific. I tend to just record them myself, but people have done cover versions of songs that I've recorded, so I'm happy with that too.
And I think I read where you've actually been able to be a part of some of that process that's received some national awards in the process from IBMA and folks like that. Is that right?
Yeah, I got a Song of the Year award for Fork in the Road, which is a song I co-wrote with the original bass player in the Night Drivers, John Fennell.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just sitting around and wrote this kind of bluesy song, and I recorded it. And then years later, Jeremy Garrett of the infamous String Dusters used to play with us and really liked that song. So when that band was going, they said, "Hey, how do you feel about us doing it?" So, "Yeah, sure, have at it."
Yeah, that's cool.
And then it ended up really working out well for them, and then we all got to share an award, which was fun.
We were talking off air a few minutes ago, and to let the folks know, you are from Alberta, Canada, and I wanted to ask, how do you see the bluegrass music? Is there a difference between the United States and Canada? I know you get to travel in the United States and tour a bunch. You mentioned you were getting ready to head this way in a couple of days, and I know there's a lot of intermingling, a lot of groups across the border back and forth. And do you see a difference in the roots of that?
Well, I think there are pockets of interest in bluegrass everywhere, and in Canada, there has traditionally always been and I find this through responsible listeners at SiriusXM, areas of Eastern Canada, it's really strong, great tradition in New Brunswick in particular. But, Canada has its own fiddle traditions and fiddle music, and so, there's that kind of roots element in Canada, and I think some of that gets expressed in the kind of bluegrass music that people do, and of course there are all sorts of great singer-songwriters have come out of Canada, so there is that, and some interesting cross-border work that's done. I'm actually doing some fill-in dates coming up with John Reichman and the Jaybirds, and that's a band that consists of a combination of Canadians and Americans, and people like me who married Canadians and ended up in Canada.
Okay.
So there's a lot of sharing back and forth.
So that's your entry into Canada is by marriage, then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That's how it all happened.
Yeah, I think Claire Lynch maybe the same way. I think.
Yes. In fact, she talked to me some when this was first going on, that she was marrying a Canadian and wanted a little bit of advice, and I've done the same thing. I've been talking to John Reichman, who's in that boat, asking him, for one thing, who is tax accountant.
Yeah.
Things like that. The important information we need.
Sure, yeah.
Border crossing and best ways to handle that.
Yeah.
My wife, Sally, is a bluegrass artist in her own right, and we've done much playing together, too.
Yeah,
so,
that's cool.
But that's how I ended up here.
Well, you mentioned the band is the Night Drivers, and the new CD, Made to Move, is coming out in February next month, 2017. Is that right?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And tell me a little bit about that project. If I read correctly, is this the seventh album for you?
Well, for me, under my name, it's more like the 13th.
Okay.
14th.
Okay.
But
I'm a little off.
But strictly under the band name Chris Jones and the Night Drivers, maybe more like seventh.
Okay.
I need to actually count this. I did a UK radio interview recently. I was asked this question, and I thought, I'm starting to lose count.
Well, maybe that's not a bad thing.
It's our second for the Mountain Home label. That
right, okay.
I can handle that.
Yeah, okay.
We recorded a number of albums for Rebel Records, which is a long tradition of bluegrass music, and we've done some independent releases ourselves, and we went over to Mountain Home a few years ago. I've been really happy with those folks. They're out of North Carolina. And this new release is one that is distinctive in that it's the first one with our new banjo player. It's a woman named Gina Close.
Okay.
So we're excited to get the new lineup in the studio. We've gone a very long time without any personnel changes, so that was a big change for us.
Okay. And you wrote a bunch of these too, right?
Yes, and we've always had a high amount of original content and stuff we've done, but one thing that's sort of gradually evolved is that I'm doing more co-writing with the longtime bass player in the band, John Weisberger.
Okay.
Who co-writes a lot in general in Nashville. And so we started doing a song or two here and there, and the four songs of the album are ones that we wrote together. And we have a somewhat unique method, and we have never, except one time, the two of us and another songwriter in Nashville, Tom Utes, we sat in a room and wrote together, but basically John and I have never sat in a room and written a song. We've
wow.
done it all by correspondence.
Yeah, okay, wow.
So that seems to be working. Now we don't want to mess with the formula.
Yeah, okay. And I think I read where a lot of your members in the band are kind of spread out across a pretty vast amount of space in the United States, and of course you being in Canada.
I mean, we used to be primarily Nashville-based, at least three-quarters of us, and now we only have one member in Nashville, and since Gina joins, she's in Northern Virginia, and then we have our mandolin player in Southern Illinois, and then there's me all the way up in Western Canada, so we're about as scattered as you could get.
Does that make the logistics harder to get you guys together when you go on tour? I'm guessing you tour stretches a little bit longer when you've got everybody together.
Yeah, it is tricky. I mean, one thing we're not really able to do is an isolated date or weekend somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We used to try to at least have at least two weekends in a row in some area that's close, or or a full 1 week tour. We're about to do a California tour, eight or nine days. So in this case, what we did is, booked all the tickets to Phoenix, which is close to where we were starting off. And
okay.
So we come from all of our different directions.
Sure.
Occasionally rent something and drive as needed. But we do fly a fair amount because of that. But if we have some things that are based in the Nashville area, I'll come there and stay for a while if necessary.
And are you touring year-round now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, it's in most kinds of music, and especially in bluegrass, the end of the year tends to be pretty quiet, December and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're surprisingly busy in the months you're not supposed to be, like January and February.
Yeah.
And we're making up for it by having a kind of a quiet July.
Okay.
But we tour year-round.
How can folks get in touch with you? How can they get a copy of the CD? What's the best way to reach out?
The best way is actually just to go to my website, and you can connect to everything there, and that's chrisjonesgrass.com.
Okay.
Chris Jones is two ordinary names, so I think there's a Chris Jones magician and a Chris Jones gospel artist.
Okay.
Real estate agent, so stick the word grass at the end of
there
my
you
name.
Go okay
you'll get there, Christian's grass, and from there link to tour dates and send me a note if you want, and there's a link for CD ordering too. So.
And the new CD, Made to Move, is it in pre-order, or can they actually get that?
Right now, pre-order until the 10th of February. I know two or three tracks are available right away.
Okay.
I know there are two or three that are already downloadable. Two as of the time that we're talking, but more as the release date
sure.
gets closer. And our first single release, as such, is the title track, which is really the song called "I'm a Wanderer,"
okay.
one of John Weisberger's songs, and the phrase "Made to Move" is in the chorus of that song.
Ah, all right, cool. Well, best of luck to you guys. Safe travels, and I sure do appreciate getting a chance to talk to you today.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that a lot.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.